In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Speak to any athlete at any level, professional, collegiate, amateur, peewee. Speak to any athlete, and they will tell you that what they do in their games, in their competition, in their performances, it's probably 5% of the time they spend actually participating in their sport. That what you see on Sunday on TV is really just the culmination of all the work they do during the week. An athlete spends the majority of their time in preparation and a very small bit of time actually using those skills, those talents that they have developed through their preparation. And so an athlete who decides that they don't want to do much preparation, that they rather wouldn't, when they step on the field, will be somehow unprepared, unable, not living up to their full potential. And they'll fall. They might be able to get away with it for a little while, but anyone who knows, anybody who's been on a team, let's leave sports for a little while, move to something maybe that I've experienced, I know. But let's say you look at your calendar and your wife has made a dental appointment for you and you're like, oh my God, I've got to start brushing my teeth right now to make up for all those times that I went to bed without brushing them. And you get to your dentist chair and he says, so you only brush once a day? You don't floss? I'm like, come on. Of course. He knows that I'm not taking the time beforehand to adequately prepare for that appointment. He can tell when I try and rush in a little bit of preparation at the very end, and it doesn't make up for the 6 months that I missed. Trying to compete, or trying to go to the dentist, or trying to perform without the adequate preparation in our lives leaves us unskilled, untested, unable to rise to the occasion. And that is the exact situation we see today with the apostles. That they come to a demonic-possessed boy, and they're unable to cast out his demon. Christ tells them if they believe in him, that they will move mountains. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. They will drink strong drink, and it won't affect them. They will handle serpents and scorpions, and they won't be affected. All of these great gifts that they will receive because they follow Christ. And yet one of the first tests, competitions, if you will, examples, the first time they are on the main stage with the bright lights in front of them, they fall flat. They aren't able to complete the task. They lose their game. They miss their goal because they have not taken the proper preparation. Christ says this kind, this demon, can only be cast out with prayer and fasting. And up until this point, whatever fasting and whatever prayer the apostles have done, it is now abundantly clear that it is not adequate, that it does not equip them, that maybe they're going to practice. But what are they doing when they're at practice? Yes, you can attend practice for your sport. You can brush but not floss. But if you are not actively participating in that, if you are not practicing, if you are not striving in those moments to become better, then you're just attending. You're watching. And so Christ tells them that their prayer life and their fasting have been poor, that it has not prepared them for the task ahead. How many of us utilize our prayer life and our fasting rule as preparation? Why does the church give us fasting? Is that meat and dairy are inherently evil and should be avoided? Of course not. Is it that we like to punish ourselves? Of course not. It is so that we have a small example to practice. To practice self-denial and self-control. Fasting is given to us as a tool, not as an end. Fasting is given to us so that when we are faced with a challenge in our life, a temptation, we can say, no, I have learned how to control my will. I have learned how to control my desires on a very small scale. And now, in the arena of life, on the playing field that is everyday interactions with other humans, I'm now prepared to follow and live a Christ-like life. Kids, when your friends ask you, can I cheat off your homework? If you've never said no in your life to something, if you've never said no to the food that was presented to you, if you've never adequately practiced saying no to something, will you be inclined to share your homework, to share your test? Those of us in the business world, those of us who are married, when there is an opportunity for maybe a small gain, maybe at a price that is less than honorable, do we take that? Or have we practiced saying no? Have we thought in our life, I have struggled with fasting. I have learned how to say no. I have learned how to control my will. And I have learned how to look for Christ. No, I won't follow you down this path. No, I am committed to my spouse. No, I am committed to my church. No, I am committed to my family. I will make sacrifices for all of those things. Because I have been trained and prepared. I have used fasting to hone my will, and it has given me the skill to differentiate those things that I need to survive and those things I would like to have. And it helps me to understand which things in my life, spiritually, in business, in our family, we need to have, and which things we might like to have. And many of those things that fall into the category of, I might like to have this, are not necessary and are, in fact, detrimental to our lives. So the church gives us fasting to practice. It is a tool. But it is always coupled with prayer. Christ says today, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. Fasting without prayer is a diet. With the amount of pasta we eat during a fasting season, not an effective one. But it is a diet. Fasting joined to prayer is where we find the strength and the skill to say no, to say this is not necessary, and to look at it not as an end in and of itself, but as a tool, as a playing field for which we are preparing. We have a few weeks left in this Lenten season. If you have not embraced fasting in this way, I urge you to do so. There is still time. Even fasting at the 11th hour, Christ welcomes. So look at your lives. Look at your prayer. Look at your fasting. Do you have one without the other? Because prayer without fasting is not as strong as it could be. And fasting without prayer is poor dieting. Join the two together. Learn how to say no to the physical wants of your life so that when you are tempted with greater spiritual temptations, greater physical temptations, greater mental temptations, you can look back on the Lenten season and say, no, I lived my life without specific food and drink for over 40 days. I can live the next 5 minutes without this. Or I can live the rest of my life without that. Thank you, Lord, for giving me fasting to teach me what is truly necessary for my salvation and what might be nice to have but does not give life.